Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 6 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Lord, thank you that it is like a lighthouse, a beacon of truth. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us. Again, we're a needy people. We're a sinful people. And once again, we've seen how frail we are and how much we need you. Thank you for our preacher, his faithfulness to you and to the Word of God. Father, please preach through our preacher tonight in a very unique and special way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I've had so much fun at church already. We could almost do away with the preaching and go home. We're not going to, but we could. This evening, I have two titles for my sermon. One, I thought I might call it The Hidden Things of Dishonesty. The Hidden Things of Dishonesty. Or, maybe to simplify it, I could just call it Don't Lie to Yourself. Let me read to you again the first two verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You've already read them, but let me read them again. The Bible says this: Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I want you to notice something. I'm not real smart, but at the end of verse number 1, there's a semicolon. You see that there? That semicolon means that thought, it's not finished yet. There's something more to it. And when we start verse number 2 with the word but is a conjunction, and we're connecting those two verses. Now, there might be a verse 1 and a verse 2, but they honestly all go together. And that's why it's like that. And so, here, tonight, I'm going to talk to you about lying. I want to talk to you about lying. Now, lying is sin. It may be one of the sins that Christians are most guilty of. I think all of us had better be real careful about lying to God. There are times that we'll make promises to God, and then we will not keep those promises to God. And I think that's a dangerous thing for you to lie to your God. I think we ought to be careful. You children, you should not lie to your mother. You and parents, let me tell you something. When our children were growing up, now you have to be careful. You have to make sure that you understand that they're lying. But as they grow, there comes a point when that child knows that they have not told the truth and they have lied. And when they do that, you better capitalize on it, and you better make them realize how bad it is to lie. And children, you should never lie to your mama. Children, you should never lie to your daddy. Teenager, you shouldn't be lying to your mama. You shouldn't lie to your dad. That's wrong. That's sin. You shouldn't lie. So we shouldn't lie to God. We shouldn't lie to our mother or to our father. Husbands, let me recommend something to you. When you lie to your wife, and you start lying to her, and when she finds out you're lying. You're going to have a mess on your hands. Because a lie in that one area is going to cause her to have doubt about you in many other areas. And you don't need doubt in many other areas. You don't need doubt from your mate in any area. Look, we sin enough as it is. We don't need to complicate the thing by putting a mistrust in the relationship. So, husband, tell your wife the truth. Wife, tell your husband the truth. Let's not lie to one another. One of the marks of a Christian is someone that tells the truth. So lying is sin. I don't think you should lie to your God. I don't think you should lie to your mom or lie to your dad or lie to your husband or lie to your wife. Hey, don't lie to your children. Don't lie to your children. If you're not careful, you're going to tell your children fibs. You're going to tell them lies, and that's going to come back to bite you someday. You're teaching them to lie. Don't lie to your children. Don't lie to your boss. And not because I am your preacher, but let me tell you something. It's a very dangerous thing to lie to a man of God. It's a very dangerous thing to lie to a man of God. And I've known people to do it. They promise the man of God they're going to do something. And it is not because of who he is. It is because of whose he is. He belongs to God. And so to lie to the man of God is a very, very dangerous thing. Lying is wrong and it's sinful. I notice, though, there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, I notice that God, at the beginning of this long verse, verse 1 and 2, that are all really one verse, he talks about this ministry. Ministry of what? Well, in a few minutes, he talks about honesty. He talks about we are to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. How would you like to have a ministry? Well, honestly, what I ought to say is everybody here, you do have a ministry. A ministry of what? A ministry of honesty. A ministry of honesty. We are to be honest. We're not to lie. You're not to lie. God said everybody here is recruited into a ministry. Is it the bus ministry? Not necessarily. Is it the teaching a Sunday school class? Not necessarily. But everybody in our church, you do have a ministry, and that ministry represents Jesus Christ. It represents me as your pastor. It represents this church. And it represents us as a body, a local New Testament assembly, and that ministry is honesty. When you go out into the community and you lie, you're messing up the ministry. You shouldn't lie. You shouldn't lie at school. You shouldn't lie to your parents. You shouldn't lie to your mate. The Bible says in verse 2, we are to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. God then also mentions in verse number 2, our conscience. He says, we've got this ministry. He talks about honesty and how we should not be dishonest. And then he mentions our conscience. Now, your conscience is inside you. Nobody can see your conscience. You can't see it. I can't see it. But your conscience is, I've explained it to you like this. Your conscience is an inward alarm system that helps to warn you against doing sin or warn you that you have done something that's wrong. Your conscience works hand in hand with the Holy Spirit. And your conscience says, a little red light starts to flash and says, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, if you ignore it long enough, it's almost as if that light gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And it's not as bright, but I'll tell you something. Thank God for your conscience. Thank God that there's that little alarm on the inside, a little flashing light, or maybe a little buzzer goes off that says, oh, watch out, watch out, watch out, as it flashes. Don't do that, don't do that. Thank God we have a conscience. If I were you, I'd recommend you never do anything to damage your conscience. Your conscience may bother you, but you ought to thank God that you have a conscience that does bother you, because our consciences holding hands with the Holy Spirit can keep us out of a lot of messes and keep us from doing a lot of bad things. But here the Bible mentions, in this passage of Scripture, it mentions the hidden things of dishonesty. I believe this. I believe outside of lying to God, the worst person in the world for you to lie to is probably you.
Right.
I don't think you ought to ever lie to God, and I think that's bad. But let me tell you, if I had to pick the second worst person that you could lie to, it may be you lying to yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Lying to yourself, I believe, will damage your conscience. Lying to yourself, it lowers that flashing light's brightness level. It takes that alarm that's ringing and it tones down the alarm so you can barely hear it. Why? Well, you're covering it up. You are lying to you. One of the greatest things for character building is honesty with oneself. Now, I know something about helping people to build character. I know something about this thing of character. I'm going to tell you something. The reason why some of you have such low character is because you lie to yourself. You think the way you do things, it's okay. You're late for everything. You don't pay your bills on time. You don't accomplish anything in life. And you are lying to yourself that that's okay. And what you have done is you have damaged your conscience. You have lowered that flashing light's brightness level by lying to yourself. And you're hurting yourself. Hey, listen, lying to yourself is a great destroyer of one's character or potential character. Lying to yourself, that self-deception, it'll hurt you. See, lying to yourself is one of the most dangerous forms of deception. Listen to this. If you lie to me, but yet you know you're lying, then there is hope to fix your problem. But if you lie to you, then what hope is there? I mean, when you lie to me, you can say, I know I'm lying. I know that's wrong. But wait, when you lie to you, you have deceived yourself. Lying to yourself is like disarming your conscience. Please don't allow it. Hey, listen. Don't allow this sermon I'm about to preach to be something between me and you. Because I'm not here to talk to you about me and you tonight. I'm here to talk to you about you and you. Let this be a sermon that is between you and you. Because you see, we're here to talk tonight about our being dishonest with ourselves. We're here to talk tonight about lying to ourselves. Are you lying to yourself? Do you deceive yourself? Are you guilty of the hidden things of dishonesty? Now, that could be talking about you hiding from somebody else and you're dishonest, but I'll tell you what I really think it means. I think it has to do with an internal deception. I think we become guilty of hiding things in a dishonesty with ourselves. You hurt you when you lie to you. Now, you hurt a lot of other people. But I'd like to talk to you for just a little while about this subject. Don't lie to yourself. Now, let me ask you some questions. Are you lying to yourself about your submission and obedience to the Word of God? Listen to this verse. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." There, God's talking about you lying to yourself. About what? It says, be ye doers of the Word, not hearers only. Have you rejected some teaching from the Word of God that you have convinced yourself it's okay? God said, you are deceiving yourself. Don't deceive yourself about your obedience to the Word of God. Here it says, do you tell yourself that you're a good Christian because you come to listen to sermons? It says here, you are a hearer of the Word, but not a doer of the Word. You think you're a good church member because you came to hear me preach. You are deceiving yourself. You are not a good Christian because you came to hear me preach. You are a good Christian because you are a doer of the Word. A doer of the Word. The Bible does not say you are a good Christian because you're a hearer of the Word, but you are a doer of the Word. Are you rebellious to some teaching, but you're lying to yourself about your rebelliousness? Hey, so you know, I'm not going to list a whole bunch of particular sins tonight. I'll let the Holy Spirit take care of that. You know what you're lying to you about. I don't have to. I'm not going to be able to figure that out. But are you rebellious against the Word of God about some teaching and you have lied to yourself about it? You've minimized that teaching. You've made it unimportant. You've put it off. You said another time, oh, that's not such a big deal. Well, you're going to have to talk to you about it. Talk to God about it. But the Bible says that we deceive ourselves because all we do is hear the truth, but we don't live it. We're deceiving ourselves. You think I'm wrong. You think that Dr. Smith was wrong all those years that he preached it. You think your Sunday school teacher is wrong. You think even God is wrong. But wait, could it be you? Could it be you? Have you been lying to yourself about some truth from the Word of God that ought to be applied to your life? And you've been lying to yourself about it. Because you've only been a hearer and not a doer. We lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. For instance, let me tell you somebody that lies to themselves. Fat ladies that wear spandex. Take just a moment and think through that thing. Somebody's lying to themselves. That's gross. You know, you cram all that into a pair of spandex, baby. It's like playing dot to dot with the cellulite. You can just see it. It's almost as if, you know, if she's big enough, it looks like a human waffle on steroids. We lie to ourselves. And I think a lady ought to dress like a lady all the time. And there's a difference the way a man and a woman are supposed to dress. But I'll tell you something. I mean, there's certain sins. This thing of a fat lady in spandex, this is exceedingly sinful. I'm sure it won't be allowed in heaven. It's just flat out wrong. Somebody's lying to themselves, huh? Are you lying to yourself? Are you lying to yourself about how smart you are? Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. What? We could lie to ourselves about how smart we are. Have you convinced yourself that you're so spiritually smart you could run the church better than the people God's put in charge of the church? I would only have this one question. Why didn't he make you pastor? If you'd like to give her a whirl for about a month, I could use a little sabbatical. Mrs. Owens and I could go to Hawaii for a month. She doesn't want to go. Huh? Hey, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Do you believe that God has chosen you and placed you in this church to be the police officer because you're smarter than the staff? Are you smarter than Brother Bajan in the bus ministry? Are you smarter than Brother Nash in the choir and special music? Are you smarter than Brother Bush, who is the administrator of our school? Notice here, it talks about the wisdom of the world. Wise in this world. You know, there's a difference in worldly wisdom and God's wisdom. Your wisdom may impress some of your secular pals, but not God. Not God. The church is ran a little differently than the world. It's supposed to. Say, well, I went to college and I got all these degrees in leadership and this, that, and the other. You can have a PhD. You know what a PhD is? That makes you a posthole digger. There's a big difference in the Word of God and the things of the church than what's going on out there in the world. You know, sometimes we get too impressed with our own minds. We think we're really smart. We think we really know what ought to happen. We think we really know how it ought to work. But the Bible says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. We better stop and realize the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. And the things of God are higher than the things of this world. And let's never get ourselves to the point where we think we're smarter than God and smarter than, hey, we think we know a better way of doing it than God's way. But it says here, we can deceive ourselves by thinking we're so smart. You know, we lie to ourselves. For instance, have you ever noticed somebody has lied to most bald men that have toupees? Have you noticed? Most of the time, they're so confident about it. But we all know. It usually looks like a piece of shag carpet that's been trimmed with a weed whacker. And you look at it and you say, that's odd. And then you look at it again, you say, it's even odder from this side. It doesn't take you long to figure it out. And then usually, they've got a big chunk of it. I mean, it's usually real thick. And it just, I'm telling you, somebody needs to tell them the truth. Now, it's not going to be me. But have you ever seen it? You ever seen someone with one of those toupees on and you look at it and say, boy, the poor guy, somebody just needs to tell him. And if he paid a lot of money, somebody ought to give him some so he could spend more money the next time, because God knows most of them are not worth wearing. Are you lying to yourself? Do you lie to yourself about your obedience to the Word of God? Do you lie to yourself about how smart you are? Do you lie to yourself about how important you are? Amen. Listen to this. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. I'm talking about lying to yourself. Sometimes we get this idea. Maybe we can even get the idea we're more important to the work of God than what we really are. Do you think you're God's gift to our church? I want to tell you all something. I've been at it long enough to know God doesn't need any of us. He really doesn't need any of us. It is an honor and a privilege to serve in the church, and He doesn't need one of us. You know, I even look at what the Baptist churches and the fundamental Baptist movement. I'll meet some guys every once in a while that just almost feel like if it were not for them, there would not be a fundamental Baptist movement. Well, I've got news for them. God can do it without them. God can do it without me. God can do it without them. God does not need me to keep His truth alive. And I'm going to tell you why. Because He promised that His words would never fade away or pass away. We're always going to have it. Now, thank God for everybody that serves God. But we better be real careful about the arrogance of, well, God needs me. This church needs me. You know, the fundamentalism in America has to have me. God's not out of people. Not out of people to use. God can reach down into any state, in any county, in any city, and He can find somebody and choose to use them. I remember when I was at the Maranatha Baptist Church in Winchester, Indiana. It was the very first church that I ever went to. I was a very busy person in the church. From the time I was a teenage boy, I mean, I'm talking about I was involved, I was a youth director, I worked with the buses, I was a bus captain, and for a while the bus director, and I led songs in the church, and I helped clean buildings, and I was busy, 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 busy. I went off to go to Bible college as a young man. I looked back and I thought, well, I wonder if they're going to be okay without me. Do you know what? They went on as if I didn't even exist. They just went right on. I worked at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana for many, many years. I was very busy there. I had a lot of responsibility there. When I left there to come here, you know what happened? They went on. They went on as if I never existed. They said, Brother Owens, you're important. Well, I got news for you. The only reason any of us will ever be important is if God chooses that we be important. And if God doesn't want us to be important, it's going to be His way, not our way. And we better be real careful thinking that anybody has to have us. No, 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 I'd be careful. The Bible says this. Listen to it now. It says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. The only reason anybody will ever be anything, it is by the mercy and the grace of God. I wonder how many people, Brother Smith, I wonder how many people through the years have left this church thinking, well, when I leave, watch. Watch how bad it hurts the church. Well, somebody ought to get word out. We're still going. See, we filled your spot. And just so you know, you ever get that idea, well, I'll just leave the church and she'll crumble. I'll make sure she won't just to spite you. We will fill your spot. The more you think God must have you, the less necessary you are. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Let me tell you something about it. The more humble you are, the more trustworthy you are. The more arrogant you are, the less trustworthy you are. I'm going to tell you something about it. The more you think God has to have you, and you are so important to God, the less He really needs you, and the further down the importance scale you go. You better just fall humbly before Him. As Brother Damien would say, do you think God could use me. We all better keep that in mind. See, we lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. We deceive ourselves. Like, you ever seen an old lady in a miniskirt? Somebody's lying to you, babe. I don't think anybody ought to wear a miniskirt. I think ladies ought to keep their thighs covered, and I think they ought to dress modestly. But I'll tell you something. These old ladies wearing miniskirts around, somebody has lied to them. They look, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Their mirror has lied. That mirror should have said, not you, buddy. You know, you look down and they've got, and they wear these, you know, these nylons with designs in them. Somebody said to a lady, you know, she's old lady, she got that miniskirt on, said, ma'am, I like the designs in your nylons. She said, I don't have nylons on. That's in varicose veins, you know. Somebody lied to you. We lie to ourselves. Ma'am, old lady with that miniskirt on, your nylons are sagging, and especially near your ankles. Again, she goes, I don't have any nylons on. It's just saggy skin, honey. Oh, we'll lie to ourselves. We're good at it. Hey, are you lying to yourself about the misuse of your tongue? The misuse of your tongue. Listen to this verse. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. First of all, it mentions religion here. And he says, if someone seems to be religious, I could probably put a point in here about those people that lie to themselves about how religious they are. But he goes on and he talks about your tongue. You say to yourself, well, my gossip, you know what I do, it's not so bad. You're lying to yourself. Listen, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. Your gossip, and you are deceiving yourself. Your criticism takes place in your home, so you think it's okay because it's your house and you're the man of the house. Well, I tell you what, you are the man of the house, but I need to explain something to you. There is also a God of your house. Being the man of your house does not give you the right to do anything you want in your house. God is to be the head of the man. So what do we do? We justify it. You would be amazed at the people. Someone will say to me, you don't believe what so-and-so said about you. A week later, so-and-so comes by and also, but oh, I just love you. You say, what do you do? I say, thank you very much. I love you too. No, I don't. I don't cross my fingers. My, oh my, how we can lie to ourselves. Are you lying to yourself about the lack of control over your tongue? You give yourself credit for growth in the area of criticism. And because you've given yourself credit, it's all right for you to criticize a little. We lie to ourselves. Are you kind to people when you talk to them? Here it talks about the tongue, not bridling the tongue. Maybe it's not just talking about gossip and criticism. Are you kind to people when you talk to them? Or is your tongue sharp, rude, curt, abrasive? When you make requests to people, do you kindly ask? Or do you say, I've got to have this. It's got to be that way. And you think you're a good Christian because you don't use four-letter cuss words anymore. Well, the truth is, there's more to being a good Christian than stop cussing. You're to use your tongue kindly and softly and gently with people. So you've convinced yourself you're a good Christian because you stopped cussing, but everything you say to, around, and about people, you're rude, you're curt, you're abrasive, and you're hard to deal with. And you say, well, I'm not what I used to be. Well, thank God for your growth, but I think it's time for some more. The Bible says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Let's be careful that we don't lie to ourselves. Hey, are you lying to yourself about sin in your life? For instance, 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Now, there are those that believe in a thing called sinless perfection, that they can get their life so cleaned up, they don't sin. They're like Jesus. Now, they're lying to themselves. Now, I think you can clean your life up an awful lot. But you'll never get your life as clean as Jesus. And Jesus was the only person that ever walked this earth that was sinless, that had no sin. But is there sin in your life and you're denying that it's there? Do you lie to yourself by believing that your sin's not hurting you? Your sin's not hurting others. Your sin's not hurting your church. Your sin's not hurting God. Your sin's not hurting the lost. Your sin's not hurting your husband. Your sin's not hurting your wife. Your sin's not hurting your parents. Your sin's not hurting your children. Your sin's not hurting the cause of Christ. Hey, are you lying to yourself? Do you tell yourself that your sin's not so bad? Do you recognize the pride in your life? You know what the biggest problem your pastor has? My pride. I'm very sorry to tell you that, but your pastor's a sinner, and I've got to work on my pride continuously. I'm always saying to myself, now you make sure that you're thinking through this spiritually. Don't you get Jeff Owens in the road here. You do this right. Don't you let Jeff Owens... Hey, Jeff Owens is not to be the decision maker in this church. Jesus Christ is, and Jeff Owens is to be putty in his hands. But Jeff Owens has a problem. He's human. And he's got pride in him. And I've always got to get on Jeff Owens. You think I'm hard on you. I've got to really be hard on me. I expect a lot out of myself. And I need to. Do you lie to yourself about your sin? Do you lie to yourself about your pride? Hey, what things are you lying to yourself about? What things? The Bible's listed some things and tells us specifically, don't deceive yourself in these areas. But are there other things? Do you lie to yourself about your true concern for the souls of men? You say, oh, love the souls of men. Oh, when was the last time you told anybody about Jesus? When was the last time you witnessed to anybody? When was the last time you handed anybody a gospel tract or came soul winning on Thursday night or came soul winning on Saturday or went out visiting for a bus route? You say, I care about the souls of men. Are you lying to yourself? Do you really? Do you lie to yourself about living up to the training that you have received? Are you lying to yourself? Are you satisfied with what you're doing for God? How many of you have been in the church for years and years and years and years and years and you still aren't doing anything for God other than showing up? You think that's okay? I think you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. And listen to this. Brother Brett, I'm going to turn this microphone on for a second. Don't worry, folks. I'm not going to run far, loud, or hard. I would speculate there are more Bible college graduates in this church than in about 90% of the churches in America. Let me ask those of you that are Bible college graduates. Are you doing for your local New Testament church what you've been trained to do?
Well, Brother Owens, if I were the pastor, I would.
You don't qualify to be the pastor if you will not do it while you're the layman. I want everyone to think through all the training you've received. Those of you who've been in the church for years.
Oh, I've been here. I helped lay the cornerstone out here.
Then you ought to be the most productive person in this church, evidently. Because I know you've been trained to be soul winners and to love people. You lying to yourself? We lie to ourselves. We lie to ourselves. Mrs. Tarter was a lady that went to the very first church I ever went to. She lied to herself. I sat near her. Mrs. Tarter really thought she had a good voice. Now, God bless Mrs. Tarter. She's in heaven today. God fixed her voice up when she got to heaven. I know if they had tryouts, God said, don't sing out, Mrs. Tarter. Mrs. Tarter, she thought she sang alto. You ever heard someone that thought they were singing alto that sang monotone? There are people in the alto section going. That's the way she was. You think, because you think you sound good in the shower, that you have a solo voice for church. Now, you just trust us if for some reason we say to you, I think it's best you sing in a group. A big group. Like, the 900 that sat in the pews. Now, I realize the Lord tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And thank God some of you are fulfilling that. If He meant noise, and He really did mean noise, there are a few of you, you are definitely making just noise. Some of you wives, you know what I mean? When your husband really gets with it and you're thinking, take it easy there, honey. I want you to love God, but don't embarrass the family. I'll tell you what, Brother Nash, you and I both know how hard it is to talk somebody out of wanting to get into a group when they can't sing. You got to really be sensitive about that thing. Because there's some that say, I want to sing. And Brother Nash is going, oh, brother, I don't want to talk to him about it. No, what group? We could put them in Alvin and the Chipmunks. You know, you sound like a constipated blue tick hound dog. You know, a good blue tick hound dog goes, oh. One that's having a struggle goes, oh. Singing's just not your bag. But I have met people that have just flat out lied to themselves. Hey, and I think everybody ought to sing, whether you sound good or not. I think you ought to sing, but I don't think everybody ought to stand up here and sing a solo. But there are those that will lie to themselves. Do you lie to yourself about having done all you can to make your marriage good? Hey, I hear people say, I've done everything I can. I don't know what else I can do. You lying to yourself? Sir, are you lying to yourself about making your marriage everything it could be? Ma'am, you have actually given your all? Do you lie to yourself about who deserves an apology? Are you too good to apologize to people? I know folks who won't apologize to someone that deserves an apology because the person that deserves the apology is a bad person. So they're bad. Why should I apologize, even if it were my fault? Maybe you ought to apologize because it's right to do. Maybe you ought to apologize for your own sanity's sake. Do you lie to yourself about apologies? How long does it take you to apologize in your marriage? How long does it take? Do you lie to yourself about whether or not you're doing your best? Don't lie to yourself. Hey, do you lie to yourself about your tithing? You know what the Bible teaches about it, but you have all your reasons why you don't. You lying to yourself? Did you know something? I cannot release you from that command of God. I didn't write that book. I didn't. Do you lie to yourself? Hey, have you lied to yourself about your own salvation, your own spiritual condition? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Oh, I've been in the church for years. No, I ask, if you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? Well, I remember I got baptized once. If you died today, are you saved? You know, if you die today, you go to heaven. Are you sure? Well, I've been a member of this church. I've been a member of a lot of churches. I do good deeds. Wait a minute. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Well, whatever you do, don't lie to yourself. By lying to yourself, you send yourself to hell. Do you realize how many people in the United States of America are lying to themselves about their spiritual condition? Honestly. We meet them all the time. If you ask someone, say, are you going to heaven? You know, a whole bunch of them will say yes, and then you can ask them, well, how are you going to get there? Well, I don't know. So they've lied to themselves. They've lied to themselves. In this passage of Scripture that we read earlier, it says this. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves in every man's conscience in the sight of God. I want to recommend to all of us, including myself, that you're very careful and that I'm very careful to be honest. With who? Well, with God. But if I were to pick any other human being on the face of this earth that you need to learn to be honest with, you better be honest with you. If you want to lie to me about your sin, if you want to lie to Brother Bush about your sin, if you want to lie to your mom about your sin, or your dad about your sin, or your husband about your sin, or your wife about your sin, I'd much rather you lie to everybody else. But don't lie to yourself. Always keep that conscience healthy and realize if it's wrong and you want to tell the rest of us, you don't think it's wrong, okay. But never convince yourself your wrong is right. That is a dangerous... That's where your major perverts come from. I'll guarantee it. That's where your child molesters come from. That's where your rapists come from. They somehow inside themselves have lied and deceived themselves into believing what they're doing is okay. Don't lie to yourself. Dangerous thing. Dangerous thing. You're going to mess up your conscience, that internal alarm, that thing that flashes and makes you feel bad. But I don't want to feel bad about my sin. Thank God you feel bad about your sin. It's one of the signs of a true saved person. Don't lie to yourself. And remember, this sermon, it's really not between you and I. This is a sermon between you and you. You and you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll have a brief altar call. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, we invite you to the Savior. If you're here and you need this altar for any reason, we're going to allow you the opportunity to use an old-fashioned altar. There's some of you, don't lie to yourself about needing the altar tonight. Don't lie to yourself in the balcony and say, well, I don't need the altar. Don't lie to yourself about the need of the humility of walking an aisle and getting on your face before God and saying, God, I'm sorry. Some of you need to face yourself tonight. You need to come to this altar, get on your face and say, you know what, I've been lying to myself way too long. That's why you struggle with your character. That's why you struggle with so many things in your life. You've been lying to yourself. If you got bad character, face it point blank and decide to get it cared for. Quit making up excuses for yourself. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you need this altar, you come on. We won't take long. But don't lie to yourself. If you need the altar, come down here and use it. Stop lying to yourself. If you're in the balcony and you need the altar, use it. If you're on the main floor and you need the altar, use it. If you're in the choir and you need this altar, you just leave your place. You just leave your place and come down to the altar. But don't lie to yourself. The Bible says that we have this ministry. It is a ministry primarily of honesty. God tells us this. Be careful. We are to renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Has your pride and arrogance got the best of you? Do you think? Thank God, Hartsburg Christian Academy has me. Thank God, Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church has me. Thank God, the bus ministry has me. Thank God, they have me as a Sunday school teacher. Thank God, they have me as a staff member. Thank God, I'm in the music program. You better thank God that you're used at all. The more you think you're needed, truly, the less you are. You endanger your necessity by believing you're necessary. We should just humbly thank God if he'll use us at all. What shapes your conscience in? How long have you rejected certain parts of the Word of God and teachings of the Word of God to the point where it doesn't even bother you anymore? You're not affected by that anymore. Your inside alarm doesn't go off anymore. There's not a flashing light anymore. There are some of you that are, you're fornicating, you're living in adultery. It used to bother you at first. Now, the old alarm, you can barely hear it. You're not bothered anymore. Quit lying to yourself. Thank you. time through the song, please, one more time. You may still come to the altar. Don't bite it. Thank you, congregation. You may have a seat.